any Welsh people out there? Yeah. Tell them! Tell them how good it is now! Oh, it's not shit anymore! We spent millions, so it's not shit for you. That's the whole... Have you, Welsh people, where are you from?
Swansea!
Fair enough, it's shit. I'm trying to explain that the place has improved and you lob Swansea in, Tester. Lucky Swansea's still a desperate dump, isn't it, let's face it? Devoid of any hope whatsoever, Swansea. The, have you been, there's a sign on the way in that says, kill our children, not your speed, isn't there? Is a, I'm talking about places like Cardiff and the places that have, yes! These places have improved. We've had development money. We've done Cardiff Bay. Have you been there? Go there on holiday. It's lovely. We've done it all up. You've got cafes and bars. You've got the sea down there now. It's amazing. Shoot, down where the shit was, that's all sea now, most of it. And it's going to be amazing when they finish it. Has anybody seen the posters of what Cardiff Bay is going to be like when it's all done? It's not. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be people chatting. Laughing, texting, Welsh people these are, presumably. Having interesting conversations over dinner. We're all going to be a lot better looking by the time it's finished as well. You look out. Where are they going to get these people with fashionable glasses and teeth from in Cardiff? I got no idea. You've got to admire their optimism, haven't you? Fair play. Talking of optimism, you've got Cardiff Bay. I was there not long ago. Some of these restaurants, some of them have got tables outside. Alfresco dining in Cardiff. They're having a laugh on me. I tried to have a Twix at a bus stop in Wales a few years ago. It was too wet to eat, to be honest with you. Everybody's pretending it's Madrid. Come on, we'll sit outside. Your soup bowl's filling up faster than you can eat it, for Christ's sake. Stop raining! You never get past your starters after 7 hours of soup and rainwater. You give up. Your gin and tonic's overflowing, the little umbrella's blown inside out. Turn it back into the wind! Turn it back into the wind! As waiters with frosted eyebrows fighting their way to the table. Spaghetti carbonara! Spaghetti carbonara! Sure, I'll get another one! I'll get another one! As people throw in life buoys to their bread rolls. I'll pull you in! I'll pull you in! Peas being airlifted to safety. Oh, Wales is improving. Even the valleys. Go to the valleys on holiday. Even the valleys. They are. Shut your face. They're getting better. They're getting better, the Welsh. I did a gig in Pontypridd. Yeah, in the Welsh valleys. Were you there at the gig I did when there was a piece of sun-dried tomato on the stage? Not bullshit. In a real piece of sun-dried tomato. We couldn't even do the gig. Everybody was just staring at it. I couldn't get them back. I couldn't get their attention. It's not local to your area, is it? The sun-dried tomato. Hey, there was a pile-up in the valleys a few years ago because somebody mentioned satsumas. Did you read about that? Somebody's trod in that, haven't they? That's what's happened. That's, do you live here now, madam? Is that, do you live here? And are you from the valleys?
My boyfriend is from the valleys.
Your boyfriend? It was probably him that trod in the sun-dried tomato and dragged it all the way back. That's what he probably stepped in the sun-dried tomato in London and took it all the way back to the... He must have been shitting himself on the way back. They'll kill you for that in Pontypridd, won't they? Get it off me! They're gonna kill me! They're gonna kill me! Ditch the shoe! Ditch the shoe!
I think we've got a problem. I think we're using the word Muslim far too quickly to describe people doing atrocities when they don't represent Muslims any more than I do. And I think we should be using a more accurate word for those people, which I'm going to argue is knobhead. It's a political rally now, don't we? There'd be levels of knobhead. There'd be levels. You'd have like a moderate knobhead all the way up to fundamental knobhead. If we all did it, the news would have to catch up. They'd have to go, today, two knobheads bombed a car. They'd have to do it. We all... And it wouldn't necessarily be to do with terrorist activity. Not just that. Just any knobheady activity would get the knobhead word. I've thought of some. People that wear a festival wristband after a festival. Oh, the worst. Oh, I went to Reading. It's November, you're in a Costa, you're a knobhead. Couples that put a lock on a bridge, you're both knobheads. Sorry, hate them, hate them. Sanctimonious mothers, have to be careful here. I don't mean all mothers by any means, just a lot of my friends having kids at the minute, and it's the sort of mothers that go, don't tell me how to raise my kids. And you're like, okay, but she is trying to eat a petit filou with an electric razor, so... You're a bit of a knobhead, aren't you? Ever so slightly. Amanda Holden, fundamental knobhead. I just don't like her. I don't like her. Don't encourage me, because I'm sure she's lovely. I think she's despicable. No, I don't have a problem with Muslims in Birmingham at all. Happy to have them. I think they add to our city and to our culture. I think the big problem we have in Birmingham, it's happening around the country, actually. We have a lot of artisan coffee shops. You know the sort of places I'm on about, like Shoreditch is full of them, kind of like distressed wood, that kind of thing. And they serve flat whites, and they'll say things like, we support local artists. And you know that, because the art on the wall is shit. dozens of Birmingham, they're all shit. There's one I quite like. I can't say the name for legal reasons. They do an avocado and feta smash. It's a very aggressive word, I feel, for what is essentially pressing with a fork. Avocado and feta smash! And for £1, £1.50 extra, you can get a poached egg on top. It's a lovely way to start the day. I went in recently and I said to the girl...
All of the parenting stresses me out, all of it. Like, right from the beginning, when you're pregnant, you've got to think of a name for your kid. You're like, right, we're going to have to name it. That's tradition. Going to have to give it a name. And it's hard to think of a name for a kid because that's their name. That's going to be their name all their life if it pans out. And I'm an indecisive person. I struggle to think of passwords for websites, and you get help for that, don't you? Like, oh, no, weak. And names go in and out of fashion, don't they? Some names, they can be in fashion, but they don't come back in. We all know those names. And I tell you a thing that's back in fashion now, and I find it fascinating, is virtue names, right? That is back in fashion. Those virtue names is a sort of Victorian notion that if you name your kid after a virtue, they might live up to that virtue. But that's risky business, isn't it? That's hubris. I wouldn't risk it. You could call your son Victor. He could end up a bit of a loser. Ernest, he could become a bullshitter. Grace is an ever popular name. I wouldn't risk it. You could call your daughter Grace. She could end up a sort of galumphing oaf. Sacking her head on low beams. Falling into crockery at dinner parties. You'd be like, oh, come on, Grace. Do your laces up, babe. Prudent, she'll end up lip deep in debt, won't she? Chastity. Although my son is called Frank. Someone said to me, you've done it, innit? You've called your son Frank. That's a virtue. To be honest, to be above board, to be trustworthy. I was like, oh, shit, never thought of that. He'd end up an estate agent now, would he? He's funny, Frank. I think he's funny. I would say that, wouldn't I? Because I'm his mum. He's like, funny. My child's funny. Tell a joke. Look at 774 pictures of my child. But I think he's funny, right? I went to pick him up from school the other day. I pick him up every day because they get proper arsey if you don't. They do. They ring you. They're like, where are you? I'm like, TK Maxx, where are you? Oh, all right then, yeah. So, yes, I went to pick him up from school. And I was late, and I wasn't being very laid back that day. I was running a bit late, a bit stressed. I had my eldest with me. I had my mate's two kids that were coming back for tea. I thought we'd just get him and go. He's in reception. I was like, right, we'll just get off, yeah? But the teacher stopped me. She went, can you wait, actually? Can we have a quick chat in that, you know, voice? So I had to range my face into one of those mum pretending to give a shit faces. I said, go on, what's he done? She said, do you want to tell mummy what you did today, Frank, or shall I tell mummy? He's got upset now. He's like, you tell mummy. I'm like, what's he done? What? She said, look, today, Frank stuck a digit up the teaching assistant's bottom. I said, oh, That's not ideal, is it? It's very difficult to know what to do with your face. I was going through all the faces in my phone. She said, we've talked about bodies, haven't we, Frank? And areas of bodies that we respect. I thought now would be a really bad time to go... This is awful. I mean, this is a finger up the TA's... I mean, this is now they're teaching numeracy in primary education now. It's sort of like, oh, if Frank's got one finger up the TA's arse, how many fingers are still on the outside?
Sometimes people come up to me after shows and say, I don't like female comedians. They talk about sex too much. I say the reason why women comedians such as myself talk about sex all the time is because, well... Sex is one of the few things men allow us to participate in. I am an identical twin. I know. I get asked, how do people tell you apart? And the answer is it's pretty easy because I live in London and she's dead. Because that means I'll always be the pretty one. You'll be relieved to know that being American is not my only disability. I also have a very mild form of cerebral palsy. It's not a big deal. In Japanese, it's called no seishoni mahi. Sounds very exotic. In French, it's called infirmité moti cerebrale. It sounds much more expensive. I was going to learn how to say it in Russian, but Putin's not my president anymore, so... All it really means is I can't use the muscles on the right side of my body very well, even my face to a certain extent. God help the man hoping for a return on a left cheek kiss, because I will bite your face off. Mostly, though, it's my right arm and hand that I can't use. I can place most things in my hand and hold them. I can also give people the finger, if you're into that sort of thing. Just takes 20 minutes. And when I walk with a limp because I like big dicks if I can't knock them. My mom, she feels responsible for my disability because she is. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I love my mother very, very much. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be a comedian. But I would be able to use both hands. I moved to London 5 years ago, but I've been coming to the UK every summer for years and years before that, because I fucking love you guys. I do. I genuinely cannot get enough of you and your no-can-do spirit. Also, as a disabled person that can't drive, I've figured out that countries with obvious alcohol problems have pretty decent public transportation. You people drink a lot. There's been a strike going on, and I'm still getting to gigs. That's how much you drink. We Americans, we don't drink as much as you. We physically can't. We're on too many opioids.
I know a lot of you are now looking at me going, shit, look at his hair, now. Now. I am in the mid-stage of growing an afro. I'm well aware that this is the shit stage. For some reason, reason, this alone gives people license to shout out shit to me in the street. So for your information, I know what year it is. I have never been near a car wash. And who the fuck is Shaft? I walk down the road, Shaft, Shaft! I look down, my cock is hanging out. Oh yes, ladies, some stereotypes I can live with. Big cock. Very happy to be here. Look around the room, so many sinners sitting here amongst us tonight. Oh yes, there are. There's a man sitting right in my eye line, sitting right over there. Look at him. Openly, openly wearing glasses. Have you found Jesus? The Lord gave you vision at a limited rate. You defy him by wanting to see more. Who do you think you are? Remove your glasses. See what is really here. Oh, look at this pretty lady. Don't fight it. I can tell by your eyes that you want me. Oh, fuck it. I can't keep it up. It's all a joke. I've never left the country. Good evening, folks. Very, very, very pleased to be here tonight. I want to tell you a bit about myself, because I've started off quite aggressive, so I'll pull back, right? My parents arrived in London in the 60s. And London in the 60s was very, very similar to Australia now. No real diversity, right? I remember my first day at primary school, I ran into the classroom, I ran straight back home, and I went, Mom, Mom, apparently there's a black boy in my class. I can't find him anywhere. So you young people, you're very, very lucky, right? Young people, how old are you, son? Right there, you. 16? What year were you born?
1991.
Did you hear that noise? That's called jealousy. There are people in this room with underpants and socks older than you. Where are you from, child? Where are you from?
London.
London, big place, scale it down. I'm not driving a minicab. Let's work together. Kilburn, North London, yeah. South London, representing.
I'm the sort of person who will spend their wages like their winnings. You know what I mean? Get all excited. I just get so excited. First half of the month, I'm getting my nails done, champagne brunches, buying a second-hand jet ski I found online. But I forget about the second half of the month. We all do, don't we? And it's bleak, innit? Isn't it bleak? Just indoors, watching telly, eating beans, on a jet ski. It's... embarrass myself, I do. I love it, I love shopping, I love it. People save money in London, not me, I love shopping. It's the pop-up ads. They know me. Don't know me. I don't even resent it. Oversized smock midi dress with pockets. Yes, please, I'll have another one of them. Thank you, algorithms. Love it, thank you. Because they're all watching us, innit? They're all watching what we're doing, listening to what we're doing. People don't like it, I don't mind it. I use it to my advantage. I'm like, I need a shed at the minute. I'm like 6x4, pre-treated timber. Works every time, but people get paranoid. Don't we ever like to get paranoid? Like my mum, paranoid. My mum is paranoid. She won't have a smartphone, not a computer in her house, nothing. She's like, they're watching you, Lord. I said, don't matter, does it, Mum? I said, it don't matter if you ain't got anything to hide. Do you know what my 73-year-old mother said to that? I have. I thought. Slow down, top girl. Say nothing. Nutter. She's right, of course she's right. You had to do what you had to do to get through lockdown, that's what I say. Do you know what I mean? People were stockpiling. I've got three kids. There was no such thing as stockpiling with three kids, let me tell you that. Every other day I was going out for more Jack Daniels. I don't know. It's got to be done, though, innit? I just know what it is. Now we've all got all our freedoms, I'm worried about myself because I feel like nothing's actually as fun as you think it's going to be. Maybe it's me. There's a lot of stuff I don't get, like Brighton and tapas. Maybe it is me. But I feel like other people are pretending to have fun. Do you know what I mean? Spa days. Do you like spa day? I don't think you do. Brunches. Girls, how have we signed up to 50 quid brunches? How has that become a thing, a standard? When did that happen? Not even birthdays. It's mad. I'd rather get drunk with my own scrambled eggs. Do you know what I mean? Holidays. You bothered about a holiday? No, I'm not. Again, I think you like the idea of a holiday. Do you know what I mean? I like looking for them, booking them, actually doing them. Hard work, I think. It's true though, isn't it? Do you know what? I think I would genuinely rather be hospitalised. Oh, can you imagine? Food, drink, drugs brought straight to your bed. Oh, that costs hundreds in Ibiza, hundreds. I'd start clapping for the NHS again. I would. I love it.
Start by thanking the BBC for letting me be on the show. It's like really awesome that they did. I mean, it doesn't pay that well, but it's just really cool to be here. And they've been so generous. They put me up in a hotel right next to a casino in the city, and they didn't have to do that. I'm not criticizing the BBC. It's not their responsibility to know that I have a gambling addiction because it's about self-knowledge. And when I go to the casino, I only bring the equivalent of $100 to gamble with because I know I can afford to lose that. And I bring $25 for food in case I get hungry and $800 for bus fare in case I forget something and have to go home a couple hundred times. It's quite a long flight out here. And of course, I didn't get to board the airplane first because I don't travel with small children. The people who do travel with small children, they go on before anybody else. It's a nearly universal airline policy, and it's totally unfair. I mean, it's not fair at all. Never mind that I've spent the better part of a quarter of a century flying on the same airline, trying to earn enough status, enough loyalty, that maybe I could board the airplane first. Never mind that. Because that guy right over there made a single bad decision 3 years ago. So roll out the red carpet for His Majesty. And I'm not having a go at kids or parents. In fact, it's in defense of children. Little kids don't want to be jammed on the airplane right away. Small children do not enjoy air travel. And they've been making this abundantly clear for as long as I can remember. In fact, the airline should reverse the policy. They should say, small children stay at the airport till the last minute. They should say, anybody without small children, you may now board the airplane first, that you might enjoy a short moment of zen. Then the attendant would guide us like, okay, everybody just breathe in and release. Okay, here they come. I think I'm ready for this. But I also want to admit, in the interest of being open-minded, that I don't know why the kids got aboard first. And maybe there's a really good reason why the kids got aboard first that I don't know about, because I don't get to go on there with them. So I don't know what they do in there. I mean, maybe they got to do like a pre-flight sound check. I'm serious. Maybe they get on the airplane and they're like, wah! Is that good in the back? Can you hear that? Is that sufficiently piercing? Okay, I'm almost ready to let them on. I just want to do a couple seat-kicking warm-ups real quick here first. Check my distance. Get the volume up on that iPad. Turn the volume up on that iPad real good. I want people on the ground to hear me playing Angry Birds. You guys ever worry about the world? I get worried. I watched a documentary recently about how much the pollution from humans is destroying the environment. And after I watched that, I was so upset I couldn't even talk. I just had to go for a really long drive by myself and just think about shit alone in my Winnebago. windows down, air conditioning up. And then hairspray. Because when I'm looking good, I'm feeling good.
I read this thing, right, online, so it must be true, where everyone who's under the age of 30 is going to live till 160. Like, you look tired now. 160? I don't want to be sat in a flat, leaking, liver spotted. Your ears and nose, they never stop growing. I'm going to be sat there looking like I work at bloody Gringotts Bank, just like, And I think if I get to 160, I'm ending it. I don't know how you do it. What are you going to do? Sort of suffocate yourself with a bag for life? I reckon the best way, and maybe like a toaster in a bath situation, but it'd be one of those like sit-down baths with a chair and a door, and then you have to wait for it all to fill up. You put in a bit of matey for a last bit of luxury. And then you go, oh shit, I forgot the toaster. And then you have to wait for it all to drain. You open the door, you go out onto the landing, down a stairlift, into the kitchen, you go, what the bloody hell have I come in here for? It's never gonna happen. I'm trying to do more nice things though. That's what I'm trying to do. Because I've never really done anything with my life. I did a thing recently. I went to go and give blood for the first time. Has anyone ever done that? It's just one woman like, yeah, I did it today. It's amazing, but I thought you did it in like a hospital or like a sanitized medical center. You don't. You do it in like a rugby club or like a methadone church, right? I turned up to this bingo hall near my nan's house, right? I was greeted by second moodiest person I've ever seen in my life. It was a woman called Linda. Like, her name badge said Jean, but she looked like a Linda. Do you know what I mean? Like, short bob, gelled fringe, good at darts. She weren't happy. I turned up, she goes, have you got an appointment? And I went, no. And she goes, have you filled out a form? And I went, no. And then she threw this form at me, and as I'm walking off, she goes, thank you very much for giving blood. We really appreciate it. Giving blood is the greatest gift anyone could ever receive. And I'm thinking, Linda's never been given a slow cooker. So, take this form, I start filling it out. I had to use this woman's eyeliner because Linda wouldn't lend me a pen. Just filling it all out. And as I said, the only reason I went to go and give blood is make myself feel like I'd done something with my life. And instead, I'm faced with all these very serious adult questions. It was things like, have you ever been to Africa? And I'm like, no. And he goes, have you ever had sex with a man? And I'm like, no. And he goes, have you ever had sex with a prostitute? And I thought, I've done fucking nothing with my life. Nothing. Have you injected drugs? Have you smoked drugs? Have you had any treatments in the last 6 months? I panicked. I went, oh, well, me and my mum have had facials off Groupon. Not the right answer. Weirdest question, are you HIV positive? I was like, what? Like, no. Like, if anything, I'm against it. And then they took me off into this room, and there's all these sort of like Sharons and Johns lay on beds with sort of needles in their arms. Like, it looked like a spa day for smackheads. Put a belt round my arm, not even a nice belt. They spanked it a bit, they told me to relax, and then they whipped out the biggest flipping needle I've ever seen in my life, and I just fainted. Completely fainted. I can hear all these muffled voices, and then I can hear Linda's bellowing voice just going, I knew he'd be a fainter. I'm like, by the time I'd come around, all these people are trying to help me out, and Linda just parted them. And her way of trying to make me feel better, her way of trying to make me feel like a proper grown-up was going, would you like a glass of orange juice and a biscuit? I was like, no, Linda, I want to have sex with an African gay man for money. That's what I want to bloody do.
We're here to talk about relationships. Let's crack straight on with the first slide. Don't laugh at that. That's not meant to be funny, please. Let's not have another Folkestone on our hands, please. Making divorce work. Now, given that it is a rocky ride, an emotional roller coaster, I start off with a joke, ladies and gentlemen, just to loosen us up. Here it is. If you're going to get divorced, you have to be like the man in the toll booth. Why is that, Keith? Well, you have to be willing to accept, this is the joke, change. It's a zinger. When you divorce, there is sweeping change. Changes right across your life in every area. One of the first things to change is the locks. You make a... Please don't laugh at that, please. You may come home one day and find that your key no longer fits your wife's lock. Another man's key is fitting your wife's lock. And stop that, stop it. Stop, I'm stamping on that. Riaz, with a Z, please. Stop it. It's not that sort of a show. Well, I mean, it's not a show, is it? It's a talk. But it's not smutty. So you may come home and find that your key no longer fits the lock. Good. Yes, it can. And it can be very difficult to tell why a relationship is going to go wrong. Why is that? Well, I think it's because at the beginning of any relationship, when two people get together, there's always a sense of what? Hammersmith, at the beginning of a relationship, a sense of?
Worry.
Pardon?
Worry.
Worry. No. Anyone else? At the beginning of a relationship, a sense of? Foreboding. Foreboding is the wrong answer. Lust. Lust. No, no, no. Uncertainty. There's always a sense of uncertainty. A feeling of will they, won't they? And there's no way of... Please, Hammersmith, take it seriously. We're talking about emotions. A sense of will they, won't they? And there's no... Hammersmith, I will walk off the stage, please. There's no way of predicting when a couple get together whether or not the relationship will work. Will it last a long time? No. Not a chance in hell. Will they stick together? No, no. Will the marriage endure? Yes. Yes. Lee and Leslie. Now, Lee and Leslie are a lesson to us all. They've made a marriage work. So why is it then that when they can make a marriage work, so many others can't? Paul Simon said, there are 50 ways to leave your lover. One. Hammersmith, time out. Please, start to take it seriously. One, slip out the back, Jack. Two, make a new plan, Stan. And 48 others.
Now, the thing is, like, I've met some crazy people and with some crazy ideologies. One of the craziest people I met and the funniest were these guys called the Black Israelites. If you don't know the Black Israelites, right, it's a group of black dudes in New York. Right, and they think the black man's the original Jew. Right? They think the white man's the devil. I mean, look, you know, they have a point. Right? And they think Jesus, right, is coming back to put white people in slavery. Right, which, look, I think is messed up. Because I think white people would make terrible slaves. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you whip them once, they run to the manager. You know, you try and give them bread and water. Is it gluten-free? No. It's not gluten-free. I don't want some old white woman making my dinner and stuff. Like, Margaret, if you make me another shepherd's pie, I'm going to sell your ass. Stand on his porch. Start selling people. I don't know. I get called a lot of stuff now. Especially with the internet, I get called tons of stuff. I get called racist words, and I get called racist for making jokes about white people. I just want to say my mom's white. I have one at home. She's fine. I have no issues with white people. Love white people, right? But everyone calls me mad things. And I'll be honest with you, when you get called a lot of stuff, you have to have a thick skin. You can't let it bother you, because it'll just get you down if you always listen to that stuff. And it's never bothered me, except for one time. Someone said something about me, and it just really... Basically, someone called me middle class, and it just really... I threw my avocado on the floor. I was perturbed. I was like, mother, take this away. I can't finish this avocado. Middle class? I ain't middle class. I'm not you. I'm from Ilford, man. If you don't know Ilford, it's in between East London. Don't you cheer Ilford, goddammit. Ilford is horrible. It's in between East London and hell. That's where Ilford is. don't want to go Ilford, right? And it's that weird thing. It's like you work hard and then people think they can take away your identity from you. And that's like a weird point. It's like you can't be working class because you've worked hard. You get to play lovely gigs like this. You can't be what you are. And the thing is, like, I am working class in my heart, but there's a conflict. My brain says different sometimes, you know? Like, sometimes my friends will call me from prison. It's just what it is. It's just what it is. They'll call me up and they'll be like, yo, Jamali, you need to start repping for the Mandem. And I go, you know what? I need to start repping for the Mandem. They say, you need to start saying free the Mandem. I'm like, you know what? I need to start saying free the Mandem. And that's in my heart. I believe that. We should free the Mandem. But then my brain goes, yes, Jamali, but now you have stuff they want to steal. So I'm like, yeah, free the Mandem. If they've completed the course, maybe. I don't know. Know if they've repented. I don't know. If they ring me up, they'll be like, yo, say free Ginger J. Free Ginger J. Say free Worm. Is Worm still locked up? You better free him. Say free Killer. Nah, I don't know about Killer, man. I'm not saying we should never free Killer, just don't free him where I live. Because I live in a nice gentrified area now, just what I'm saying. So it's like, and I'm angry at gentrification, but it's hard because it's delicious. I'm drinking my latte again. All these hipsters, do you know? Like, so yeah, free hit killer, but just not where I live, not in my community. Because gentrification is a weird one. Because does anyone remember when London was shit? Like, Hammersmith was shit. None of you would have been able to be here. It was that bad. It was never Peckham shit. Peckham was shit. I go as far as Bethnal Green and look at Peckham through a telescope. That's as far as I go. One, because can we disagree that you see, like, middle class hipsters that move to the ghetto pre-gentrification are some of the most bravest people in the world? Only a hipster can go to the hood and go, no, no, I see potential. Seriously,
I tried to buy bedding not so long ago. Has anybody done that? No. Where does bedding come from? You just accumulate bedding, don't you? All your bloody... Has anybody here tried to buy a duvet? Have you? How did you get on?
Not too well.
Not too well? Did you come up against the old TOG rating system? It's like the Spanish Inquisition in there, isn't it? I went into Debenhams. I said, I'd like a duvet, please. She said, what TOG do you want? I said, what watch? She said, what TOG? I said, what watch? She said, what TOG? I said, what watch? I said, I can hear you. I just don't know what the hell you're talking about. What is a TOG? I went to school. We did metric. We did feet and inches. Nobody ever mentioned TOGs. What the bloody hell is a TOG? She said, it's the thickness of the duvet. I said, all right, I'll have a million. I was thinking of torches again, right? She said, you can have 8, 10.5, 12. I said, 0.5? 0.5 of a TOG? Now you're giving me 0.5. I don't know what a TOG is. How am I supposed to know if I want 0.5 of a TOG? She said, well, when are you going to be used there? I said, at night, right? You think I'm going to be used there? It's a duvet, isn't it? When do people normally use duvets? I think I only go to bed at Friday lunchtimes or in the ad breaks, so when Jupiter aligns with Mars, it's a duvet. She said, but will you be using it 52 weeks of the year? I thought, no, I'm going to sell it to cash converters and buy it back every now and again. That seems to make a lot of sense. She said, if you're buying it at this time of year, get a 12.5. I said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if I'm buying it at this time of year? I'm here, aren't I? What other time of year can I be buying it? I said, you're here, I'm here. This is the sale. This isn't a dry run. This is Debenhams, not the Italian job. I've got case in the bloody joint. Let's do it now. Oh, it's not even finished. I'm not even halfway through. She said, well, how much do you want to spend? I said, if you're selling it now, about £30. She said, oh, you'll have to have a feather. Oh, you'll have to have a feather for that. Oh, you'll have to have a feather one for that price. I said, that's all right, I'll have a feather one. That sounds all right. Oh, no, they get a bit prickly. Oh, they get a... Did you have this? They get a bit prickly, the feather ones. It's the quill bits, you see, the quill bits. They get a bit prickly. I thought, well, what the hell are you doing filling a duvet with prickly quill bits? I can't think of anything worse to fill a duvet with than something prickly, unless you've got them out the back full of stabby things or burny stuff. I said, I just want a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. Is this too much to ask? Just give me a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. She said, well, get down then. I hit the deck like my nerves had gone. She said, get up. I said, you said get down. She said, I meant get down instead of feather, you bloody idiot. Get down instead of feather. I said, all right, I will have down. At last, we're getting somewhere. I will have down. Give me, she said, do you want duck or goose? I said, I'm going to punch you in a minute.
But So we've moved now. We've moved to a place called Pinner. We only moved to Pinner because the estate agent said to us, he said, oh, Pinner is a lovely part of West London. West London. We get Welsh telly. So... It's not London, but it is very nice. One of the things I like about where we live is it's very multicultural. I think that's one of the brilliant things about London. I think multiculturalism is something we really have to fight for. Like, the school my kids go to, it was very easy to pick a school for my kids because obviously we just picked the one with the highest ceilings. But the school they go to, it's a really nice school and it's very diverse. Like, we have a mum's night out once a month and all the mums from the school go, and there are women there from every economic background, every race, every religion. And we have a fantastic time, and the Muslim mums drive us home. tell you what, it is nice. I had an incident the other day, though. I was walking down the street near where I live, and it was one of those sunny days, one of those days that remind some van drivers that women have breasts. You know, one of those. And I was walking down the street, and there was a van drove up and slowed down, and two guys leaned out of the van, and they were in classic kind of leching position. And I knew they weren't going to be looking at me because I am 44 years old. And in fact, my older friends, when I was turning 40, they said, oh, being over 40, it makes you invisible, right? And I have found, yes, that is true, but the brilliant thing is it mostly makes you invisible to dickheads. So it's not really a problem. It's a superpower, if anything. So I'm walking down the street. These two guys are leaning out of this van, and I see they're leching, but they're looking past me at a younger woman, a woman in her 20s, who is walking alongside me. And these guys do the classic thing. They lean out of the van, and they gave this woman a very detailed appraisal of her anatomy. You know, they covered all the main areas in bullet-pointed form. Very thorough. And then they went on to suggest what I can only describe as a smorgasbord of activities they felt they would enjoy indulging in with her were they not under pressure of time to get to the next plumbing job. So they did all this and they drove off. And naturally, I turned to this woman and I said, oh my gosh, are you okay? That was horrific. And she said, no, I'm fine. It happens all the time. And I thought, yeah, it does when you're in your 20s, doesn't it? And we were chatting about how silly it was as we walked down the street. And then we got further down the road and the traffic had slowed down and this van had come to a stop. And I think a few years ago, I would have just left it, said nothing. But this year, I thought, you know what? If I'm going to be invisible, you know who else is invisible? Ninjas. I'm going to be a bloody middle-aged ninja. I'm going to strike, right? So I went up to the van and I just leaned in and I said, oh, hi, guys. Listen, sorry to bother you. I just wanted to say thank you so much for what you did back there, because my son here has been undergoing a very difficult gender reassignment. Worried that it's not going that well, but what you did back there really made him feel like a proper woman. Thank you. I was delighted with myself as well. But what was really special was that then the young woman next to me leaned in beside me and in the deepest voice I've ever heard just went,
yeah, thanks, guys.
Beautiful moment. Obviously, it wasn't perfect. The only thing that could have made it perfect would have been if the guys in the van had said, actually, if your child is undergoing a gender reassignment, it's incredibly insensitive of you still to be referring to her using the male pronoun. But, they didn't do that. They just called us slags.
I've been doing camp old nonsense in show business for 20 years now, and I've worked with some fascinating people, people like Postman Pat. I'm sorry to tell you, but the man's a I'm sorry for language. But we did Panto a couple of years ago, and he was constantly upstaging me and pulling focus. In the end, I said, you're a c***. Doesn't walk like that offstage, you know, it's all put on. On the other hand, you know, I've worked with some fascinating people, people like Dale Winton. Dale Winton and I went to stage school together, and when we were both about 15, we shot up together. Dale is lovely. He'll do anything for anybody, anything from helping an old lady across the road to buggery. There was one awful occasion when he got a bit confused. I'm afraid so. bugged an old lady across the road, but she saw the funny side of it. Put it down to youthful high spirits. But if I had to think of a highlight of my career, well, there are two, really. I did two Royal Variety performances, and you get to meet the royals afterwards, which is the whole point, really. Have you met them, Abby? Not encountered any royalty, it's just a question of time. The second Royal Variety was in front of Her Majesty the Queen, and I was standing there with Frankie Dettori on one side, and she got to me, and just before she got to me, suddenly became aware of a little kind of smidgen of wind that was trapped within, as can happen, and I thought, well, I can't really drop one in front of the Queen. That's probably treason. So I'll have to get rid of it, and because sometimes you can get rid of wind from whence it came by, you know, willpower and internal squeezing. Well, I had a go at that, but it wasn't going anywhere. So I let nature take its course, and unfortunately, on that occasion, I shat myself. Isn't it always the way, though? Just when you're about to meet a monarch. No, it's all right. I better just explain, because I'm on this special diet, no wheat, no meat, no dairy, no cigarettes, no alcohol, I barely breathe diet. And as a consequence, my stools are not as other people's. They're very, very compact, kind of capsule-type affairs, hardly any bigger than a Nurofen Plus. And fragrant, I might add, generally lavender-scented, sometimes with a hint of juniper. People use them as drawer fresheners. They will be on sale in the foyer as you leave. Make an ideal Christmas gift. And she said to me, oh, very, very good. Were you very nervous? I said, oh, just a turd, a tad. And so I thought I'd better get rid of it. And I shook my leg like that. And it shot across the stage. Who should be over there but Dame Shirley Bassey? Well, she's a wise old bird, and she saw it coming, and she deflected it like that. It shot through the air. Who should be over there with her mouth open, as usual, but Claire Sweeney? And I'm afraid... Poor old Claire. She's been talking shit ever since.
Anyway, we finally get in. My son looks around, flatly refuses to get into the dentist chair. So, of course, I think, well, I've got to lead by example now. I've got to be a role model. So I said to him, well, look, how about if I sit in the dentist chair first and then you'll see there's nothing to worry about, all right? He agrees to this. And I said, then you'll do it, won't you? Said, yeah, okay. So I, you know, wink, wink at the dentist. This is not a fucking appointment, pal. Dentist is looking at my teeth. He's, you know, he puts the bib on me, the sunglasses. Yeah, sunglasses at the dentist, at your dentist? What is that? That's a great little trick, that one is. What are they, you're meant to think you're at the beach or something? Well, you're sunbathing. Oh, relax, look, the sun is out. There are four of them, but they're out. Oh, you clever man. I forgot I had a Black & Decker in my mouth for a minute there. It's incredible what you did. You tricked me with the sunglasses. Anyway, he's looking at my teeth. And then he goes, oh, actually, there is something I can do for you here, Mr. D. And without any warning, gets the drill. Straight in. They always do a couple like that just before they do it. They know it bloody works. They're trying to shit you up. That's what's going on. Start drilling, goes straight into a root canal up here. Up here. I'm feeling the kind of pain that I didn't know could exist. I'm just trying to diffuse the pain through the arms of the chair. I'm just going, ah! Blood coming off the ceiling. My son runs out into reception. It's a total disaster. I didn't get a bravery sticker. The whole thing has gone wrong. Well, you don't like... Who likes to go to the dentist? You wouldn't. It's, you know, from the moment you get there, they put that little vacuum cleaner in your mouth and, oh, God, they stick that thing in your mouth. It sucks all the saliva out. It always reminds me of my first girlfriend. You know, And I'm always anxious they're going to flick it onto blow by mistake. I'm going to end up with a mouthful of the previous guy's phlegm. I'll be there like some human volcano in my foster grants, full of slum. Bits of tooth I'm spitting out all day. It's not mine! I never wore a brace! It is an odd thing, though, at the dentist, how you look forward to the pink drink. once you're there having this stuff done, you begin to think, see that pink drink? That's mine. At the end of all this, I get the pink drink. It's going to be worthwhile. That little plastic cup with the pink drink in, it's mine. You look forward to the pink drink. He's doing what he wants. He's tinkering around with his little craft set inside your mouth. Doing what he wants, injecting what it... Oh, the injection, that's... How unnatural is that, an injection in the mouth? Oh, it'll just feel like a little scratch. So what do you say? It'll just feel like a little scratch. And then after about 10 minutes, it'll feel like you've had a stroke. I'm lying there, my upper body is going numb. And I'm thinking, oh, look, in a minute, I got a pink drink. You find yourself looking forward to those words. You can swell. Oh, thank you very much. I actually think that is the dentist's secret pleasure, to see you in that state. Look at you, you dribbling baby. You have no idea how much I hate humans.
If you know anybody who works for WhatsApp, just tell them to let us delete the message entirely, like it was never sent. Don't delete the message, but still write, Neil has deleted the message. Like a little telltale informer. So that your friend still texts you and goes, what was in that message that you deleted? You know what it says delete for me or delete for everyone? Who picks? Just for me, and just go and delete it for me, yeah? Yeah, still want them to see the awful stuff I've written, but I don't want to be reminded of how much of a dick I can actually be, yeah. It's like getting a tattoo removed and walking into the laser place going, what are my options for tattoo removal? You got two options. First option, we shine a laser on your leg, remove the tattoo so no one will see the tattoo. What is my second option? We shine a laser in your eyes so you won't see the tattoo. I go for option number two, please. Thank you very much. I bought a new phone. I fell for the ad. You can put the phone on somebody else's phone and you can wirelessly transfer the charge. And the company thinks people are going to use that. No one's going to use that. Your charge is the single most important thing in your life. Look at your friends. They would prefer to donate a kidney to a stranger than to give you 5% of their mobile phone charge. Have you ever been abroad? Yeah? You ever been abroad? You bring one adapter, one charger between you and your spouse. The UN level of negotiation involving getting the charger back from the person you love. Can I have the adapter, love? Can I have the charger? Can I have the adapter? Can I have the adapter? And they hit you with it. Absolutely, Neil. But what battery percentage do you have? And you look at the person you've chosen to spend the rest of your life with and you lie like a mofo, don't you? 3%, 2%, 0.5%. I've never even seen 0.5% in a mobile phone before, to be honest with you. Show me your phone, I'll plug it in for you. I can't show you my phone. Why can't you? I'm having an affair. Are you hell having an affair? Show me your phone! We'll be in Spain. My wife will go and have a shower before we go out. She'll leave the bathroom door open and the shower door open. That is not an invitation to join her. You'll make that mistake once in your life. Let me tell you that. It's because she doesn't trust you to not unplug her phone and plug your phone in. And she's right, because that's exactly what you do, isn't it? Back in towards the end, so you got plausible deniability. You took out my phone. I did not pluck out your phone. It went up by 2% after a half an hour shower. That is because Spanish electricity is different. You plugged it in during the siesta, and the wires were asleep. That's how it works here. If I talk to you in the front row, hope you know I'm just messing. You get great answers. I had a farmer at a gig once. I said, what do you do? He goes, I'm a sheep farmer. I said, I read recently sheep can recognise individual human faces. He went, well, as long as they can't give evidence, I should be. I had a South African man at a gig in Dublin once. I said, where are you from? Big blonde guy. He goes, Cape Town. I said, Cape Town is beautiful and warm and sunny. How did you end up in Dublin? He went, I got in the wrong container. The Irish guy, lovely fella, big guy, you know. Apparently we're going to be the most overweight country in Europe in a few years. And they tell us this like it's bad news. Oh, it's a catastrophe. It's a disaster. It's good news, ladies and gentlemen. Only 180 years after the worst famine in Western Europe. I call that a comeback, ladies and gentlemen. No one else has bounced back like we have. Those people in Pompeii just died. If they were Irish, they'd be selling lava lamps by now.
I wouldn't go down on a man with a vagina, or absolutely not, all on a man, no, because a man's vagina would be disgusting. Like, I think it's a good thing that most women are born with them, because you look after stuff. Like, men, no, thank you. No. People get so angry though, man. Like, I always used to say the LGBT community, and then someone threw a bottle at me for not saying LGBTQIA+. And it's like, mate, I'm on your team. I just didn't know. Like, I didn't miss you out deliberately. Give people some credit. You've named your community after a bloody Welsh village. I'm not going to get everything right first time. Like, also, does anyone know what the A stands for in LGBTQIA? The A, anyone? Asexual, yeah. Now that baffles me somewhat. Like, I don't understand why those people would want to be part of the same group, because that means at gay pride, you've got people who are like, I'm not ashamed, I'm proud, I'm a man and I love men, you know? I'm a woman, I have sex with women. And then you've got these people at the back who are like, I want no part of this filth! Like, holding up a blank placard, like, we want nothing! You're like, over there, that's a different march, isn't it? Surely. The problem with some sexist stereotypes, though, is that they're there for a reason, aren't they? Some questions can only be answered with a stereotype. For example, there's a stereotype that women can multitask and that men are just like, ha, the whole time. I think it's offensive to men more than anything. But some questions can only be answered with a stereotype. For example, why is it that you never hear about a woman who died wanking? It's exclusively a male method of death, isn't it? The rope around the neck and... only the men. Now, this makes no sense because women masturbate, we know this. Women have masturbated since the 1980s, of course. I believe it was the sinking of the Belgrano that finally got them going. Now, statistically, there must exist women that like to strangle themselves to increase the size of their orgasm, but you never hear about them because they don't die doing it. Women seem to be able to strangle themselves and masturbate at the same time. You know why? Because they can multitask, you see. And men are like, ha! You're going to die! Fuck it! Ha! And they die. So, some questions can only be answered with a stereotype. That's my point. But these stereotypes were obviously used in the past to kind of make life harder for women. But now, some people think maybe life is harder for men because of the whole Me Too movement. I don't know about that. But what I do know is that no man could deal with the Me Too hashtag. Like, no, not even the really woke, liberal, good guys. Like, I've got a friend who's a real good guy, you know, like, like one of them. And he, he's always blogging about why we can't eat prawns or some nonsense. And... he's like, oh, this harassment stuff's terrible, isn't it? Oh, this harassment stuff, oh, makes you want to castrate yourself. What? That's what he said. Every man should just castrate himself. It's like, come on, mate, that's such a male response, isn't it? Because women still want to have sex, they just don't want to be harassed, right? So if women are like, hey, could you stop harassing us? And men go, oh, right, I see, well, I guess I don't need this anymore. Chop. Surely women are like, no, I still want to have sex just more on my terms. But then we're like, no, those are your options. Either we can harass you or it's nothing. The species ends. Pick a team, Karen. Huh?
Is there a barrister in the room, by the way? Do you have a barrister here? Yeah. Yeah, so close. Who you are? What's your name, champ?
Mark.
Mark, what do you do? You're a trainee solicitor. Okay, so you don't get to appear in court, do you?
No.
Oh, man, that's the whole fun of it, though. That would be the gas part, just appearing, just doing the walk in front of the jury. Oh, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. That would be the real gas of it all. You don't get that, do you not?
No.
Oh, here, let me find out of your instincts, though. Maybe you made the right decision, right? When you get to the end of a jury, right? When you get to the end of a jury, you're walking along, no, and you get to the end, right? And the jury's here. Which way should you turn?
Backing yourself.
But, like, from like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's why you wouldn't have made a good barrister. Just that moment there, right? If you're ever in a court, right, and you're ever representing yourself, walking along and blah, 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 your instinct would be to go blah, 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 end of the thing, just go blah, 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 blah. Wrong. This is the way you do it. Blah, 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 blah. But I ask you, when you look into the face of my client there, ask yourself, is he not guilty? That's how you do it, right? A little bit of showbiz, take it for free, right? Anyway, this psychic, this nameless psychic was on recently, this is a completely true story, was on a couple of days before me in a theatre somewhere, right? And died roaring, couldn't do it, genuinely, and to the point that the audience turned. The audience were just looking at her going, you can't do this. You're actually bad at this, right? You can't. And they started taking the mickey. I started going, give me a name, give me a name, give me a woman's name. Tracy, perfect, Tracy. Let's call her Tracy, right? Tracy, and the audience started going, Tracy, what about my mother? And Tracy would go, is she dead? And they go, no. And another voice went, Tracy, what about my sister? And you one goes, is she dead? And we went, no. And eventually she goes, Tracy, what about my father? And she goes, is he dead? And the voice goes, yeah. And he went, oh, Ace, no. Something is coming through. Something is coming through. And the voice goes, ah, no, he's here. Sorry. They're glorious, they're fantastic, they're fabulous people. We had to chat with Ali, we talked to James Gay, we talked to Julia there. The one person I really wanted to talk to was Melissa from the property shows. Where is that? Hello, how are you? How's yourself? Good to have you here. You do the property shows on BBC Daytime, don't you?
I do.
You do, you do. Yeah, well, you did. What are you going to do next year? Not so much in the property now, is it? That's a kind of a topical one there, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just picking, you know? What? What are you going to do? A show called We're Staying Here? Or, actually, the schools aren't that bad. Do you know what my favourite is? My absolute favourite? The best of all, right? Not grand designs, not location, with respect, not Homes Under the Hammer. Property Ladder is the greatest property show in the world, right? For one simple reason, right? Property Ladder. You know the one I mean? Very good. Brilliant. Best, almost the greatest television show, because uniquely, historically, it's the only television show ever that has an expert that nobody pays a blind bit of notice to. Every week, Sarah Beeny comes in and goes, Magnolia, and they go, ah, oh, no, we're painting it black. Every week, she's going, no, please, what are you doing there? We're digging a hole in the hallway to put a swimming pool in. What? She must be off camera every week doing, what am I even here? To a word I say every week, I give advice, and then they make a big profit and they think they're as good as me. Well, they're not! And she's in, she's out, she's in, she's out. It's a continuity disaster area, it really is. Yeah. I'm not saying anything against her being pregnant, but it does kind of give away how long it takes these people to do a bit of basic plumbing, you know what I mean? In the time it's taken them to plaster the back bedroom that she's been in, she's had four kids in the time they've taken them to do that. Just stick her in a poncho in episode one and be done with it, right? Make her Mexican, she can do the accent. Come in on a donkey going, so you want to develop some property? Yeah. Perhaps you'd like to knock through the wall and make this into a separate bedroom? Yeah, that would rise you. Many, many pesos for you, if you can possibly do that.
I sort of feel like if you've got enough money, you can sort of just pay somebody to diagnose away your shit personality. And I consider that money well spent, by the way. I would recommend it to you. Prick. No. I actually have bipolar disorder. That's why I've ruined your birthday. Poor me, actually. Now there's... I always thought there was a system. Like, adult ADHD has changed everything for me. I didn't realise that was a thing. I thought it was a childhood thing, but now there's adult ADHD, which has confused the whole process for me. I thought the process was that if you had a child who was shit, you would say that they had ADHD. And if that child who is shit grows up to be a shit adult, you would say that they had bipolar disorder. footnote, I've been diagnosed with both, so don't write in, camera people. Anyway, yeah, a lot of people might suffer with mental illness, and that's, you know, it's a pervasive phenomenon. A lot of you might have depression. That's your sort of garden variety mental illness. That's your standard fare. And if you do have depression, my advice to you and the community at large would just be to keep it in there. bottle it up. Whatever you do, don't tell me about it, because I don't care. I don't care if you're depressed. I'm bored of it. I just don't want to hear about it. And I just can't be. And also, it's just not a good thing. If you have depression, don't tell me. Because as somebody who suffers with depression, you should know how pervasive depression is, that many people suffer with depression. So if you tell me that you have depression, that might make me depressed. And that doesn't really feel like a problem halved, does it? It doesn't. It's like, it's not, I just don't tell me about it, you know? Depression is an economy based on resource scarcity. And what we've done now is we've flooded the market with depression and it's lost all of its value. And I don't care if you're depressed. Depression is currently in its Weimar Republic era of hyperinflation. And we're all wandering around with wheelbarrows full of depression going, would you look at all of this depression? And I'm there going, that's actually not as much depression as it looks like. That won't even get you a loaf of sympathy down the shops these days. My friend said to me recently, with the confidence of a man saying something new, that's lovely. He said, I just think we need to talk more about male mental health. Oh, my God. How could there possibly be time to talk about it any more than we already do? We are talking. I know that we all have different perspectives, different cultural backgrounds. I can see you, or feel you, rather, like, moving away from me. Okay? Let's all keep lighthearted about this. I don't want to have to say only joking, given the context of what this is, okay?
If you're aware of the myth of the hairy hand, what this was, right, was a ghost hand that would appear if you're driving across Dartmoor late at night and steer you off the road. We learned about this in history. I was reading all the witness statements, genuinely my favourite. One of the people it happened to described the hand as invisible. I mean, if he wasn't breathalyzed at the scene, what the hell are Devon and Cornwall police doing? Grew up in the middle of nowhere. To give you an idea, right, I don't know how many kids you had in your year at primary school. I had, in my year at primary school, 4 children. There was a five-a-side football tournament. We weren't allowed to enter. We genuinely, this is not a lie, had a lesson once a week where we listened to the radio. Like evacuees waiting for news from the front. I mean, I don't know if it was education, I don't remember. It might have just been the teacher going, oh, sod this, I'm off for a fag, is Steve Wright, enjoy yourselves. We didn't even learn anything good. Art class, I wanted to learn how to draw. We didn't learn. Oh, the only tip I remember from art class, when drawing a face, always remember the eyes are exactly halfway down. No, they're not. Have you seen a face? Oh, yeah, of course my eyes are halfway down. That's why I wear my glasses under my ears. Yeah, what did he look like? Normal bloke, 50% forehead, yeah. The only way that tip is of any use is if the question in the exam is draw ant from Anton Deck. Science class, the only thing I learned in science class, how to use a Bunsen burner. Not a skill I've needed in later life. Never does someone come round. Do you want a cup of tea? I'll just pop on the Bunsen burner. Blue flame, I'm not an idiot. Only one use for orange flame, wasn't there? Just happened, your eyes aren't deceiving you. You never see one, never outside a pub. Have you got a light, mate? Have you got a gas tap? Also, what is going on with the health and safety in schools? I'm not allowed a conker outside. In here, I'm allowed a flamethrower. The only other item we ever had in science class was once a week we'd be sent outside with a wheel on a stick. A trundle wheel, and we'd just walk around for hours. Just clicking. Going, I don't know what I'm learning here. Is this going to come up in the exam? Question one, explain photosynthesis. Question two, how big's the car park? To the nearest 10 clicks. That's why the best day in all of science, the best day all year, is when they're going, today we're going to watch the television. You go, brilliant, like at home. No, not like at home. Because this TV show will be shit. But then they build up the excitement, wouldn't they, by leaving the room and then slowly wheeling the TV back in. Like it was Queen Elizabeth II. All hail the television. And then they fail to make it work for 20 minutes and wheel it back out and bring out the trundle wheels.
Do I get to travel with this job a lot, which I enjoy? I get recognised as well, which is a strange experience. It's not always from being on TV. Sometimes you just get recognised the next day if you've done a gig somewhere. Like I had this recently. I was up north, and I'd been doing some gigs. The next day, I was just in the hotel having my breakfast, and there was a couple in the corner, and I could see they kept looking at me. This couple must have been sort of in their 50s, and they kept looking over at me, and I was just having my breakfast. And as they got to leave, they came past my table, and they stopped. And the lady said, can we just say, she went, you were amazing last night. I said, oh, wow, thank you so much. She was like, honestly, our cheeks are still hurting. I was like, wow, thank you. And her husband was like, we just love finding new people. I was like, wow, thank you so much. And they walked away, and a few people turned to look at me, and I thought, oh, they're probably quite disappointed. They don't recognise me. They don't know who I am. And then I thought, no, that's not it at all, is it? It's because at no point during that interaction did anybody mention that I was a comedian. So all that happened was this couple approached me over a hotel breakfast and said, you were amazing last night. Our cheeks are still hurting. We love finding new people. But of course, the issue is there, that the people there, of course, you can't tell from looking at me like I'm a comedian, because you can't just judge someone just by looking at them, can you? I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. But you can sometimes, can't you? You know, like, for example, if you see a man over 55 with a ponytail. You can make assumptions, can't you? Like, he's either a magician, or he knows karate. You know, one thing for sure, he's definitely divorced. Like, you shouldn't, but you can is my point. But of course, ultimately, you can't, and you can't judge someone just by looking at them. Like, you wouldn't know, for example, you wouldn't know from looking at me that I've got epilepsy, would you? Because I haven't. No, I do, don't worry, it's fine, it's good news, I got it. In fact, fun fact for you, I had my first ever seizure during National Epileptic Week. Which was fitting. I'll tell you about the first seizure I ever had. Is that okay to do? Is that all right? Thank you. I know sometimes people get a bit funny if people start talking about health conditions. I know some people don't like to talk about their own health conditions. Like, I've got a friend called Paul. He's got psoriasis, doesn't like to talk about it at all, and I'd rather just sweep under the carpet. So people in the business, some big fans of psoriasis stuff down here. There's more if you want it. Just scratching the surface. But no, we'll move on. It's one condition at a time. Yeah. The first seizure I ever had, it was my first year at university. I was in Topshop trying on a pair of jeans in Topshop. I had no idea that I had epilepsy. I just went in there to try on these jeans, fell to the floor, I had a seizure. I woke up, still in Topshop. I had no idea what was going on. I just woke up, there was this bright light and three women looking over me. I thought I was in heaven. And then one of them just went, excuse me. She went, do you know what day it is? Now, I didn't know that was a thing. And I remember just thinking, can you not ask someone else? So to me, this woman had just walked into Topshop and just gone, what day is it? Oh, that's that guy there on the floor. The one who's bleeding from the mouth and appears to have wet himself in a pair of jeans that he'll be forced to pay for. Just unacceptable. I was glad when they went under.
You know, when I found out that I was going to do this gig, I immediately put together a message and I pinged it out on our family WhatsApp group to my husband and my children. Because that is the kind of rock and roll comic I am. And my son, my teenage son, wrote back to me at once, and his message said, "Thug life chose you, brah." And I was like, oh shit, my child has joined a gang. I mean, what kind of language is this? Thug and brah? It had two R's, but he's a terrible speller. And I was like, oh no. And the other thing is, I thought, this message is not for me. This idiot has sent me a message by mistake, which is for a gang member. What if the next message is something much worse? And that really bothered me because, well, this was my moment. I am going to Apollo. Like, if I'm going to find out you're a criminal, can we do it next month? So I wrote back to him in all caps, because as a good Indian mother, I mainly shout at my children. I wrote back, "This is your mom." And he wrote back, "I know, gigging like a boss." Thank you. A boss. Yeah, B-A-W-S-E, boss. And also, please do remember as you listen to the rest of my set this evening that I didn't choose it, but the thug life chose me. That's right. So I have kids. Of course you love your kids and it's difficult to raise them. Small kids are very easy, I find. The biggest downside of having a very small child is they are very boring. Yeah, they want to show you they love you by talking to you all the time, but everything they know, you already know. I mean, literally zero value add in any of those conversations. But you do it anyway because they're your kids, you know? And you know what people say, small kids, small problems, big kids, bigger problems. And the reason is that as your kids get older, you have to discipline them properly. And I find this very stressful because I'm born and raised in India. So what I consider robust, healthy, high quality parental discipline is frowned upon in this part of the world. That's not true. It's illegal. I know because I have checked. And I want to have really well-behaved kids, but that is no use to me if I am in jail. So I have to learn what you guys do here. And the big thing here is teach your kids about action and consequence using a multitude of techniques. So you have something called star chart. You know what star chart is? Yeah, no, let me tell you, sir. Star chart is you find something vaguely not negative that your child possibly might be able to do and then work it into the conversation and give them a star. Thank you for not kicking me in the face today. Here's a star. And then the other one, action and consequence, naughty step. You've been terribly behaved. Kindly go relax on the staircase.
My mother used to buy bathing suits with blowholes in them. It was just... But my parents... I don't want to go into my childhood here because it's wrong. My parents hated me, okay? We're all going to hear the story, aren't we? My parents hated me too. My parents... All I ever heard growing up is, "Why can't you be like your cousin Sheila? Why can't you be like your cousin Sheila?" Sheila had died at birth. They just... Whenever we go like in front of a street, each parent would take my hand, hold our hand, we're crossing the street, and then they'd swing me into the traffic. They used to say, "Take candy from strangers." Ask the funny man in the raincoat, does he own a van? I had a very bad childhood, and that's because, and I'm sure none of you give a damn, but I was the only Jewish kid, this is the absolute truth, growing up in an all-Catholic neighborhood. You know what that's? The Irish people. Only Jewish kid in a Catholic neighborhood. You know what that's like? You were all doing Hail Marys. I was doing Hail Murrays. I mean, it was just... No Christmas tree? No Christmas tree. Do you know what that's like when you're the only kid without a Christmas tree? Because everybody has Christmas trees. And nowadays, it's like, well, we do it for all faiths. That's such bullshit. Yeah, we walk into an office building, and there's a Christmas tree, and there's a menorah. Bullshit! The Christmas tree goes up, 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 up. There's like a little shitty menorah with two orange lights and some angry Puerto Ricans lit backwards. I mean, yes! Juan, you lit those lights backwards. Fuck you, you killed our Lord. I mean, it is just... So, I'm at the age where I figure, screw it, I'm gonna have a Christmas tree. I got the biggest Christmas tree in, I got a two-story high Christmas tree. I put everything you could think of on that, up, 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 gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. On the bottom, I got the manger, I got the whole goddamn thing going there, the wise men, the sheep. The only thing is, I have the baby, but I'm Jewish, I got him a nanny. It was just a mess. And I redressed Mary. She didn't look good, that stupid thing over her head, come on. I put her in a Chanel suit, Manolo Blahniks, and a Louis Vuitton pocketbook. You're the mother of God, look it. It is just... Am I wrong? If she had looked like that, she would have gotten into the inn. Yes. The point is, it's about looks. Mary, she looked good, she would have done better. Mother Teresa, oh, don't give me, oh, Mother Teresa, if she had looked better, she'd be a saint by now. Was she a bow wow? Yes, did she need electrolysis? Let's talk to each other here. Even lepers were throwing their fingers at her. Here, get a break. Because it is all about looks. This is my message, Great Britain. This is my message. Looks count, education. Looks count. I have no sex appeal and it has screwed me up for life. Peeping Toms, look in my window, pull down the shade. You have no idea. My gynecologist examines me by telephone. It is just...
A lot of people know that I used to be a bouncer, which if you didn't know, I imagine that's come as quite a surprise.
What?
I was. Problem is, I still look like a bouncer. There's about 12 of you in here that showed me your tickets. And people still treat me like a bouncer. I went out a little while ago for a drink. I'm in the bar's hot. So I went outside, get some air, send a text message. So I wasn't stood there very long. I looked up for my phone and a queue had formed. That's the kind of... I had to learn how to be a bouncer while being a bouncer, which is like the worst place to learn how to do that job, especially when people think you can fight. I accidentally got a reputation that I could fight. I was 19, it was in my local bar, and I was drunk. I was really drunk. I'd had like 50 beers. I had three. You know I had three. Because I realised about that lie, like, as you get older, you think that lie's going to stop. It doesn't. It just changes. Like, do you remember being 19 and you go out drinking with your friends and you have, like, three Budweisers and you're comatosed? But your friend says, how many drinks did you have last night? And you're like, 50. Then you get into your mid-30s and you actually go day drinking and consume 50 pints and then come home and, like, throw up on a cat and go to the toilet in the cupboard. But the moment your partner says to you, how many drinks did you have last night? You're like, two. I think that second one was a bad one. I was really drunk. I was that level of drunk where I've now gone to the toilet and now I can't stop going to the toilet. Like, have you ever been that drunk? You've broken the seal and now you can't stop pissing. It doesn't even look like piss anymore, does it? It's so clear. It doesn't, doesn't it? It doesn't look... Have you ever had that drunk thought where you're like, taste it?
Can we leave it?
I haven't, that's disgusting, why would you bring that up? I haven't. I was really drunk, and a fight kicked off. This guy threw a drink in this lady's face, and then he punched a bouncer and tried to run out of the club. And as he's gone to run out, I've gone to lean on the bar because I need a nap. And he tripped over my leg and hit his face in the bar, knocked himself clean out. Now, I'm stood over this dude. And I'll be honest, I was just trying to figure out if I was in the toilet yet or not. And I stood over this guy, and the owner of the bar came up and he shook my hand and he said, "Well done." I was like, then the barmaid came over and she went, "Yeah, look at him, and he's pissed himself." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, he's." Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely did that. There's a lot of misconceptions about bouncers as well. People think we know a lot more about star signs than we really do. Like, we don't. We just know that's how to catch you out, because I don't know, but I also know neither do you. And you always know who in the queue to pick, because you can see them practicing. We've all done it outside of clubs when you're waiting to go in, going third of the eighth, 94, third of the eighth, 94. Then they get to the front and they're confident. And they hand their ID and you go, "Date of birth, please." You go, "Third of the eighth, 94. You go, "What's your star sign?"
It's nice seeing people out, man. We've had a weird few years, innit? There's been a lot going on, the pandemic. You know, monkeypox, World War III. Right. No, World War III scared me, you know. I was terrified when that Russian bloke came on TV, right? When he came on TV and he was like, "World War III has begun," right? I lost it, right? I was so scared, right? Because I looked around at the men of my generation, right? And I was like, could we fight a war? Could the men of this generation fight a war, right? And I came to the conclusion, no, we are done for. We're finished, bruv, right? Not me, I'm a bad man, but some of you, like, do you know what I mean, right? No, we can't fight a war, brother. You mad? They will take half of us out with gluten. Like, do you know what I mean? Be real, man. They don't even need to drop bombs. They'll just drop blue top milk over the front lines, right? Just see all of us just shitting everywhere, like, crying, like, where's that gender neutral toilet? Shut up, it's a war, bro! It's good to see you lot out, man. It was, that whole thing was scary, man. Do you know the scariest part of that thing? The Mayor of London came on TV, right? And he was like, "London is well placed in case of a nuclear attack." I was like, are you out of your goddamn mind? There's leaves on the track and we're done for. Forget a nuclear winter, we can't survive autumn, bruv, right? It's nice seeing you guys out, man. We've had a weird few years, man. Monkeypox is on the horizon, right? There's going to be no anti-vaxxers when it comes to that one, is there? Right? As soon as you see a massive pimple that big on your face, you're like, yeah, inject it, bruv. Do what you want, bruv. The thing with COVID, we had everything, innit? Right? Like, people were talking about the vaccine. Like, there was people on both sides that I didn't understand. Like, I don't care if you're vaccinated, just have a good reason, because I didn't get both sides of it. You know, you had pro-vaxxers and you had anti-vaxxers. Are there any anti-vaxxers in? They're louder on Facebook, innit? Like, those only guys are loud on Facebook, innit? Like, Bill Gates is taking your soul. You lot are sheeple. All right, shut up, man. But, I don't get the pro-vaxxers either. You know, like, the way they're like, there's absolutely no reason not to get vaccinated. There's absolutely no reason. It's like, of course there is. There's reasons for some of the most horrendous things in the world, like listening to R. Kelly's music. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are reasons. What, you're going to tell me there's no reason to listen to R. Kelly's music? Are you mad? Right? What, you want me to never watch Space Jam again? Are you out of your mind, bruv? Right? Listen, there's reasons to listen to R. Kelly's music. As much as you want to deny it, there's reasons, right? Say you're in a Squid Games type scenario, right? And the challenge is to play a song that a diverse audience is gonna sing along to, yeah? I don't know about you lot, yeah, but I'm picking Ignition, innit, right? Don't go home and say, "I told you to listen to R. Kelly, by the way, he's a piece of shit, don't listen to him," right? Nah, it's I don't care whether you're vaccinated or not, if I'm being honest, right? As long as you have a good reason, right? As long as you've got a good reason, I don't mind what you want to do with your life, man. It's your life, do what you want, right? And I'll tell you what I mean, because I've got a lot of friends, man, like, that are like anti-vaxxers and stuff as well. Like, I was talking to a couple of my mates about it, right, when it was all going on, and I was like, "Bro, you're going to get vaccinated?" He was like, no. I was like, "Why not?" He's like, no. Come on, bro, man, that's not a reason, man. Just talk to me, man, let me know. He's like, "No, you're going to turn it into a joke." And to be honest with you, wonderful foresight on his behalf, right? Like,
London. I love London. I feel like London is created by the people, right? Who are just crazy and sexy and ambitious. I got into an Uber the other day, not bragging, and I got into an Uber and the driver, he said, would you like to have the radio on? And I was like, oh, I don't mind, it's up to you. And then he said, well, actually, I make my own music. Do you mind if I put some of that on? No, I don't. And then he put on Drake's new album. I wonder how often it works. I wonder how often there's a middle-aged white woman thinking, oh, well, he looks like Aladdin and he sounds like confidence personified. Pull over and jump in the back, Nikolai. I'm having a good life. I have recently started doing yoga, which has just changed... Yes, woo for the yoga over there. Are you a team? Come to... I'm new to it. I love it. Yoga has changed my life. It's brilliant. Yoga is my new drug. My old drug was drugs. which I'm not going to say anything positive about because it would be incredibly irresponsible. I'm not going to say anything positive about drug taking. What I will say is I didn't take MDMA until I was 32, and it was such a relief to know I could be happy. Broken. But yoga is nearly as good, and there's no downsides. It's given me a whole new language. My favourite new word is namaste. Yeah, it's a very old word, it's very sacred, and it means the yoga has finished now. And then you're allowed to leave. I think that the key to being happy as you get older is self-acceptance. Like, I have to accept things about myself now. Like, I'm 36, I thought I would have children by now, and I don't. In an ideal world, what I wanted to self-fertilise. I wanted to have children that were exactly my genetics so that I could show them to my parents and go, see, it was my childhood, they're fine. Science can't do that yet. And then I had a crazy day last month where I just thought, I'm just going to buy some sperm. Off the internet. I've got a good job. I'm just going to buy some sperm. Guys, sperm is so much more expensive than I thought it was going to be. It is tens of thousands of pounds. We are all wasting a valuable resource. 17-year-old me would have been a millionaire if I'd learned how to catch it and chuck it in the freezer. It's a shock. I do think self-acceptance is the key. Like, there's things about myself I don't like, but I just have to accept now that they're not going to change. This is who I am. Like, so, for instance, I don't like art. I think art is rubbish. I think lots of people think art is rubbish, but we're too worried of looking stupid, so we go along with it. I think that the worst art form is theatre. Right, OK, I can sense how unpopular this opinion is. Hear me out. I think theatre is diabolical. Look, I do. Look, and also, I'm aware, if you are a performer of some kind, if you're an actor, look, please don't be offended. I don't mean being in the play. Obviously, if you're the person in the play that gets to put a wig on and walk up and down and move your arms and project your voice saying things like, I think you'll find you're contradicting yourself, Alan. Fun! Having to watch it. Dear Christ, I can't concentrate. I can't lose myself in the story. I know that it's not real because I'm surrounded by people eating crisps. And they don't let you look at your phone. So all you're thinking is, well, how long has it been?
I'll tell you something. Thank you. Thank you. I'll tell you what I saw the other day. This upset me, and I'm a pretty easygoing guy. You know what I saw? I saw an ambulance. Big sign on the back of the ambulance, on the back door. Do you know what it said? It said, this is an ambulance, not a taxi. This is an ambulance, not a taxi. I know, I can see. I can see. Don't worry. I can tell. I know it's not a taxi. You know how I know it's not a taxi? Because last time I called a taxi, it didn't take 3/4 of a fucking hour to arrive. That's how I know. While I'm on the subject, can I just ask, is it really strictly necessary in this day and age to have the word ambulance written back to front on the bonnet of the ambulance?
No, sir, if you see it in the rearview mirror, it says, I know why.
I know why. I'm just questioning it. See, my point is, if the blue flashing light and the big red cross hasn't done it for you. Just a hunch, but I suspect the word ambulance is going to be lost on you as well. So I'd like to know if there had ever been anyone in the history of the automobile who is driving along, looks in their rearview mirror and goes, huh, what the heck's this? Who's this joker with his blue flashing light and big red cross behind me? Well, he's not getting past me. What does this say? Eculumbo? What does the hell that mean? Not getting out of his way. There's some pushy Danish furniture company behind me trying to get past me. You've got to watch it. You've got to. They're all at it. I saw a fire engine. Big sign on the back of the fire engine. You know what it said? It said, smoke alarms save lives. I thought, yeah, more like save you the bother of getting out of bed to put the fires out, you lazy bastards. You've got to watch it. AA vans.
Well, Britain's fourth emergency service.
You know, only in this country could coming fourth be a boast. Fourth, you say, my God, runner-up to bronze. Well, the fun of taking part, none of the hassle of hanging around for a medal! Mountain Rescue, they're grumpy bastards, aren't they? So you help me down from a hill. Blah, blah, blah. You have no right to criticise my footwear. I was wearing flip-flops, I felt like a walk. Volunteer service, you see, Jack. Yeah, and don't you keep banging on about it. Listen, pal, you wanted to rescue people. I wanted rescuing. We both got what we wanted, so shut your face.